Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Jason Alder from AB Motorsports, and you're listening to the Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the July 30th edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder, episode 49. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program, Michael Mullally and myself will be discussing the NHRA Pro Stock rule changes, NASCAR adjustments, and more. Our first guest this evening is Garrett Jones. Garrett started his racing career at the young age of 5 years old. After just a few laps in his kart, he told his dad that driving that race car was the most fun he'd ever had, and he was sold. After going to a few tracks with his kart and not having much competition, Garrett remarked, "This isn't racing, I want to race." After finding quarter midgets at the age of 6, Garrett knew he had found his passion. With only 2 A-Main wins in his first full season, Garrett discovered the meaning of competition. Garrett continually improved over the next few years, transitioning from a participant to a serious contender, winning championships and races all over the country. Some of his most prestigious wins and championships include winning the inaugural USAC Championship for the Eastern District, the USAC Light 160 Championship in the North Carolina Summer Series, the USAC Light World Formula Championship in the East Carolina Challenge Regional Touring Series, the USAC Western District Race, held at the historic Orange Show Speedway in San Bernardino, California, the Fall Nationals in North Carolina, as well as the Little 500 held at the New Smyrna Quarter Midget Club located just south of Daytona Beach, Florida. During this time, Garrett's racing program also obtained the interest of the sports powerhouse figure and NASCAR's most popular driver, Dale Earnhardt Jr.
2011 proved to be a banner year for Garrett in the last year he competed in quarter midgets. Garrett and his team captured multiple national USAC 0.25 touring championships in 2 of his 3 divisions. In 2012, Garrett embarked on his toughest challenge of his career. Garrett, then 12 years old, was determined to try his hand in full-size stock cars. That year, Garrett was able to win a race at Dillon Motor Speedway. Later in 2012, Garrett went on to participate in the annual Snowflake 100 during the Snowball Derby at the famed Five Flags Speedway in Pensacola, Florida. He went on to finish 23rd, one lap down. Garrett was the youngest competitor at this event. During 2013, Garrett and his crew raced at tracks all over the Southeast, including Hickory Motor Speedway, Rockingham, and Five Flags Speedway. Garrett secured Rookie of the Year in the UARA Series, as well as winning the championship at Five Flags Speedway in,
Pensacola.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In 2014, Garrett was able to capture the 3 feature wins at the famed Five Flags Speedway in Pensacola in his Pro Late model, entertaining his fans with some extremely close racing with Pensacola's hometown favorite, Johanna Long. Eventually coming up a little short, 3 points, or 1 position over the season, to her in this quest for a repeat championship. Garrett was the youngest participant to race in the 2014 Snowball Derby, and he had his best run to date in the Snowflake 100, finishing 3rd. Over the winter and into 2015, Garrett and his crew chief worked tirelessly on all aspects of the team and its racing equipment, deciding to focus solely on the super late model division. Their efforts have already paid dividends. Garrett finished 2nd overall in the World Series of Stock Car Racing, held during Speed Weeks at New Smyrna Speedway, one of only 2 cars to finish every single lap during the 7 nights of racing. The pair backed their success at Speed Weeks up, and at the first race of the Southern Super Series, the Rattler 250, Garrett qualified 9th and finished 5th, contending the entire race within the top 10. Garrett is now racing for Goodson Racing in the Buddy's home finishing yellow number 1. They've been together for 2 or 3 races now and have already secured a 4th place finish at Mobile International Speedway. In a few minutes, Garrett Jones will be joining us on the program. He's been scheduled in the past and had some other obligations pop up, so we're hoping to talk to him in roughly 5 minutes or so. Did you get a chance to watch any of the action from Indianapolis this past weekend?
No. We've actually been kind of busy with my sister because she just bought a house and she thinks everybody's got to help her paint. And I'm like, I'm not a painter. And just, yeah, it's been a crazy week. But no, I didn't. Didn't Kyle Busch win, though?
He did.
If I remember correctly. Yeah.
He's on a winning streak now. He's only got I think all he needs is one more win and a really consistent finish the next week to be moved up into the top 30. So he's on a roll now.
Yeah, he. I may have to change my driver. Just joking.
There you go. I don't think that I don't think Joey Logano would like you anymore. Then it'd be horrible.
No, I don't think I'd like myself either.
But it was actually quite a good race. It was surprising that the it actually had a really good rating for NBC Sports Network. But the fact that it was rather poorly attended from what it looked like on television. They kept talking about the fact that the first NASCAR race there had 350,000 people in attendance. If this one had 100,000, I'd be shocked. It was really, really sparse looking in most of the corners, and the there weren't very many people in the infield, in the grandstands there. It just looked bad for television. It might have been a great race. It wasn't too bad, but it didn't look good for TV at all. And NASCAR has some issues, especially at that track and at a few other tracks as well. We've talked about that numerous times in this program already. But they have to do something to increase the fan participation at the events and to get people interested in going to the track. But they're definitely not doing that right now. So, got a lot of work to do.
Yeah. Actually, I'm surprised because I was binging on Netflix the other night and I watched the episode of Undercover Boss with the NASCAR something. I don't remember what he was to NASCAR, but he was someone high up. And anyways, at the end of the episode, he was talking about how, you know, he wished that he could give the fans and stuff a better experience. And he seemed like, you know, like he wanted to make it happen. So, I mean, I wonder why it hasn't happened.
Well, I think there's a lot of different factors involved, and it's a complicated thing, and I'm sure they're working on as much as they can. They've, like I said, at Daytona, they've made some adjustments with the fact they moved the midway around. They had a bunch of neat stuff there this year, that they had a Ferris wheel and they had bumper cars and all that, but that stuff only goes so far. What they have to do is improve the product on the track as much as well as improving the fan experience outside the gates, and that's a pretty tough sell, especially for a lot of the smaller tracks. Indianapolis definitely isn't a smaller track, but still, it's a pretty tough sell all across the board. I think one of the questions I might ask Garrett this evening, he's, as we heard from his introduction, he has a lot of USAC experience, and there was a little bit of news today in the IndyCar world, where the head of IndyCar, the Derek Walker, the CEO of the program, decided to leave today, effective the end of next month. And as everybody in the racing world knows, Derek Walker has been around a long time. He's involved in sports car racing. He's, of course, involved in IndyCar. He has his hand in NASCAR from time to time. And having him leave IndyCar as the head of the organization before the next, in the middle of the season, basically, is not really a good thing. And we're going to have to discuss that a teeny bit. I think some of that has to do with the new rules the IndyCar's come out with, and some of it has to do with the fact that the attendance isn't quite as good. They've had some other issues. But IndyCar is definitely a series in transition, and I'm sure that's part of the reason why people like Garrett Jones there have decided to go into stock cars as opposed to go into the open wheel route. Once again, we're standing by for Garrett Jones to call in to us. He should be calling in any moment now. Fingers crossed. I heard that I saw that your race car there with your brother driving behind the wheel had some issues this past weekend. A little bit of banging off the walls a little bit.
Yeah, he's such a pain. I mean, you know, I like the kid sometimes, but he's really hard on equipment. He really is. I can drive the car for 3 seasons and not hit a single wall in it, and he gets in it for a race, like, one night, and he hits the wall. And I'm like, really? Hey, really? So, yeah. And then, so we had to take the motor and everything out because after he hit the wall, it wasn't running right anymore. So, you know, and I mean, hitting the wall is kind of, you know, a big deal. And so we took the motor out, and when he hit the wall, it ruined the crank, I think it was. Mm. And we found shavings in the block. And so, yeah, he really messed some stuff up this weekend.
Well, when he hits the wall, he hits it pretty good, apparently. Does it with panache.
I guess so. I mean, it looked pretty cool when he hit it. And he ended up when he hit the wall, it literally ripped the wheel off the car. Like, ooh. You know, sometimes wheels just fall off cars. But he hit it so hard that the wheel got completely torn off the car. And so, I mean, that was kind of cool. But, you know, now
good for the
messed up the car.
Good for the highlight reel, but not very good for the car.
No. I'll have to post a video on Facebook because we got video of it. So
there you go.
Maybe I'll post it.
We'd now like to welcome Garrett Jones to the program. Hello, how are you doing this evening?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Not too bad. We were just talking about a little bit of a crash that happened this past weekend up there in Ephrata, Washington. What's your biggest crash you've ever been involved with?
My biggest crash, and that's... I've had a few of them, but I haven't had many in a late model, knock on wood. but in a quarter midget, this is every time that I get asked that, this comes to mind. But I was actually at Indianapolis racing inside the speedway in the Holler parking lot. And it was a USAC-sanctioned event, and they just put up temporary walls for the race, and some guy, he was going to pass me, and we were going into turn three, and his right front got caught in front of my left rear tire, and my left rear actually drove over his right front tire after it got stuck in between them, and it sent me like a end over end kind of deal, and I just went tumbling. All I saw was like ground air kind of deal, and that one's just always been one that I'll never forget for sure.
I know you've had a really good run of top 10 finishes this year. What's your secret to staying at the front of the field?
Oh, you know, it's always changing with as the Southern Super Series guys racing with those guys. It's you know, you can't always be on every. If you something works one week, the next week it might completely be like a 10th place finish kind of deal. But you know, with Mike this last weekend, our biggest thing was we focused on the speed in the car and how it drove. We focused on that, and then we didn't ever really even look at what the times were and that we were running and stuff like that till after practice was over and stuff. So I think that was it definitely brought a new approach to it for me. So I really liked how that was, and it seemed to help us at Mobile, and I think we've had a pretty good run going at Five Flags, but we had a couple of setbacks, which I think hurt us.
How are you able to balance racing and school?
You know, with it's sort of a weird thing to do. It's not like if you were playing football and you're on the school football team or something like that. It's a lot harder. You're gone a lot more, especially with traveling. I live in North Carolina, and, you know, most of the Southern Super Series races are on the Gulf Coast somewhere or, you know, down that Gulf Coast area. So I'm always gone that Friday or, you know, that last day. And the biggest thing I've always done is I always focus on what I'm doing at the moment. So if I'm in school, I'm not really thinking about racing at all. And then when I get out of school, you know, it's all about racing. I go to the shop. So when I'm at the shop, I'm not thinking about tests tomorrow or anything like that. And when I get home that night, that's when I do all my homework and studying and stuff like that. And when I'm doing one or the other, you know, it's all about that. It's not half and half. So it's always worked for me, and all my grades have been pretty well. I've always had A's and B's, so it's one thing that I found worked.
There you go. As seen on this past weekend's broadcast of the Brickyard 400, there are many open seats in the grandstands at more and more major events. What would you do to encourage young people such as yourself to come out to the racetrack?
Man, that's hard to answer. It's one thing that I've been seeing also, but you know, NASCAR, they're doing everything they can. I think that rule change they made, it was either Kentucky or Kansas. Can't remember. They always get mixed up in my head, where they had that low downforce package. That seemed like it really made some good racing. And as a fan and of the sport and a racer of the sport, I always like to see, you know, like lead changes and side by side racing. And at Kentucky, I think it was. I saw a lot of that, so that was definitely a step forward for those guys. And you know, I like Indy, and that was a good race. Kyle, man, he's on top right now. He's got that thing figured out. But I really love short track racing, and you know, that's what we're doing. So you know, it'd be really cool to see him go to more short tracks like Bristol and Richmond and those kind of tracks. That really puts on the best race, in my opinion.
What's your ultimate racing goal?
My ultimate racing goal would probably, definitely be racing on Sunday with those guys at Indy and stuff like that in the Sprint Cup Series. And you know, there's lots of ways to get there, and right now we feel like super late model is what I should be doing, and we're just focused completely on that, and we'll see what next year has in store for us. But you know, there's lots of ways to get there, and with right now supers is what I like to do. And And the Sprint Cup Series, man, that'd be awesome if I could be on TV one day and racing. And you know, you got the Truck Series. That's the first step in NASCAR, to get your foot in the door and be on TV. But any three of those series, man, that'd be awesome. Those top three.
Well, I'm gonna throw it out to Michael Mullally in Freighter Washington now, has a few questions for you as well.
Okay.
So, obviously, there are a lot of differences between quarter midgets and stock cars. Can you describe some of those major differences?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, a quarter midget, it's called a quarter midget because it's a midget sprint car kind of deal. And it's a quarter of the size, and it's open wheel. It's got our fastest one. They have different classes throughout the weekend, and from our slowest car to our fastest car, they were within a couple seconds, and at our fastest track we run about 4 second laps. But the tracks are like they were pretty small. I can't remember what they called it, but they were just open wheel, and they were a lot like a miniature sprint car. They had seat belts and roll cages, and it was really cool to get started. And I learned how to race, and there was things like you couldn't race on the outside in those things. If you were getting past, you had to get right in line behind them, behind the guy that just passed you, or you almost got passed about 7 or 8 times because they'd just line up on the inside row and you'd go backwards pretty fast. So I felt like that was something that helped me just learn how to race, and I raced that till 2011, and in December we tested a car at Hickory with Lee Falk and Lee Falk Racing, and that's when I sort of got my opened the door and started racing late models, and we bought our own later that month in December of 2011, and went racing. And the stock car, obviously it's not open wheel anymore. You've got fenders, and it was way different for me. I had to get used to it, and like when you're open wheel racing, you can't get up on somebody and rough them up as easy as you can with a stock car. So I had to sort of get my bearings in a stock car and learn all the ins and outs of it, and it was a fun change for me, and I'm glad that I got the hold of it, because at first, man, it was freaking me out because it was just a big change for me.
If you could give advice to anybody looking for sponsorship, what would you tell them?
If you're looking for sponsorship, the biggest thing that we've done that seemed like the help the most, we got a sponsor proposal put together, a big packet, and we got videos of my racing and all kinds of stuff just to put me on a pedestal and make me look good kind of thing. And we have a somebody that looks for sponsors, and that's like their main job. So she goes to companies and shows them all this stuff, and hopefully they're interested. And that's been the biggest thing for us, I think. And social media, man, that's so huge these days. You've got to be on it. And it's fun to get on there, and I like doing it, but that definitely, I mean, it's crazy how many people just see what's on there, and that's like, I've heard people getting sponsors just because of their Twitter and stuff. So it's that's pretty cool to see, but just the biggest thing was that sponsor proposal.
Have you ever did any racing on the dirt?
I haven't really raced on dirt much. With the quarter midget, we went to about 2 dirt races a year. And with the quarter midget, they didn't... It was sort of a weird deal. It was sort of like racing on really slick asphalt, just because... like I talked about the classes earlier, and some of the slower classes, they didn't have as much power, and it was you couldn't really throw them sideways or be faster sideways. So it was just sort of like racing on really slick asphalt. But other than that, I haven't really raced on dirt much. I did one race out at Millbridge, in one of those mini outlaw carts. A couple of years ago, and I remember that was real fun. That was actual dirt, and you threw it sideways, and I had a blast doing that night. But other than that, no, I haven't done much racing on dirt.
And you What is the most important part about being essentially like a role model to other kids and people that are looking to get started in racing?
Well, you know, you always want to, what in whatever you're doing, you want to be the best at it. And if I was, you know, if I was talking to somebody, my biggest thing is like on social media, you don't want to, like for me, I always check my grammar and stuff like that. That's a big one, because that just seems like if you don't have your grammar right and you're not spelling words correctly, that's always bugged me. And I've seen people do it. I was just like, wow, what is that? You know, and that's one of them. But there's many things that you can do to be a good role model. And anytime I see like anytime I see something I don't like about somebody racing a cup or something, you know, that's like, wow, you know, I've got to change what I'm doing so I'm not doing the same thing. And I've seen it a couple times and it sort of hits me in the face, and I'm like, oh, I've been doing that, so I didn't like that, so I changed what I'm doing, you know. And that's just one of the biggest things, as being a role model.
I know you did a lot of racing in USAC, and in the past, most of the people who start out in the way that you did end up going into IndyCar and that sort of thing. What was your main factor in deciding to go into stock car racing?
Well, you know, ever since I started racing when I was five, I always loved NASCAR. That's what I grew up watching. That's what my dad grew up watching. And, you know, I didn't ever really thought about IndyCar. And at the time, racing quarter midgets just seemed like the best racing for kids. And that was my dad's decision at the time. I was so young. But I really loved doing that. And, you know, it was open wheel, but they didn't have much open wheel, like stock car kind of miniature stock car kind of thing going on at the time. And I think they'd have a little more of that these days. But there's, you know, it was funny because we actually went to Milwaukee Mile and raced in the parking lot. Milwaukee Mile is another one of those temporary kind of tracks. And it was the same weekend Indy was there racing. And we got to meet a whole bunch of the drivers. It was still when Danica was racing in the Indy car. And it was like Dario Franchitti and Powers and Dixon, those guys, man. It was just really cool. But I never had much interest in like open wheel, like big car open wheel kind of stuff and road course racing. I guess I was just always meant to be racing in an oval, and so that was definitely one of the paths. But I feel like now with stock car, once I got used to it and I got used to the fenders and all that stuff and how big and how much it weighed, I started relating more and more to it as the time went on. And so now this is sort of my what I'm relating things to, the stock car now. So I think I definitely became a stock car racer, you know, but never really even crossed my mind to go somewhat other direction like road course or stuff like that. I've just always had my mindset racing on NASCAR.
Well, we'd like to wish you all the luck in the world in that, and be sure to say hello to Dale Earnhardt Jr. the next time you ran to him for us.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a nice evening.
Show.
And you too.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Once again, that was Garrett Jones, who races in the Southern Super Series. Currently in the Goodson Racing, in the Buddy's Home Furnishing, yellow number one. Now we'd like to share with you another song from our friends Ron Pastana and the Pit Crew, been gracious enough to loan us one of their albums to use on the program. Be sure to check them out. Look them up under Ron Pastana and the Pit Crew. Once again, that was a clip from Ron Pastana and the Pit Crew. We'd like to welcome you back to Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. Our next guest this evening is Alex Taylor. The 18-year-old driver has a twin-turbo 1968 Camaro that her mom, and father built. It's her daily driver and is Nate's second high school car.
She races in Drag Week and Rocky Mountain Race Week and has grown up around cars. Her dad has a restoration business, so it's kind of in her blood. She also tunes and works on her own car at the track.
We'd now like to welcome Alex to the program.
Hey, guys.
Hello, how are you this evening?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad.
Awesome. So,
Michael.
First off, how did you get started in racing?
Actually, like you said, I've grown up around cars since I was little. I was actually at the shop since I was like 3 weeks old. When I was about 7, my parents actually got back into drag racing pretty heavy. So my dad built 41 Willys, and it was a replica of the car Stonewood and Cook. And so we were into nostalgia racing. But when I was about 9 years old, my dad actually traded one of the cars he built for the 2007 Drag Week winning car. It was a black Camaro. It was a big deal that year. And so it was actually a 67 Camaro, and I fell in love with it, and that's kind of how my car came to be how it is. It's kind of the little kid version of the, that car. So we built my car a couple years later, and I've been into it since.
What is the fastest speed you have ever been in your Camaro?
Fastest speed. The fastest I've actually gone is 155. So, you know, I actually, at 150, parachute's required. And I've been doing, you know, 155 for a year now, and I haven't pulled my chute until recently, the other day, and it makes a world of difference when it comes to stopping. So, yeah, I've recently just reached my fastest time, though, and it was it's different. It's crazy how a couple mile an hour makes such a big difference.
Now, are you still in high school?
Still in high school, yes. I'm actually getting ready to start my senior year in just a couple, half a month. So, yeah, still in high school, still drive the car to school. Like I said, I drive it. It's my daily driver. I drive it to high school, drive it around town, hang out with friends. So, yes, still in high school.
That's actually really cool. So how do you juggle high school and racing?
High school and racing. You know, I'm actually very, 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 like, concerned about my grades because I, you know, I've always tried to stay at the top of the class when it comes to that. So, you know, I do miss a lot of school. I actually missed probably a good 15-plus days last year. But luckily, my principal, superintendent, and the school works with me really well. So they let me miss since I keep my grades up. So I miss school, go to races and performance shows and stuff like that. And they're really cool about it, and they work with me. So that's the only way it's really possible. But, you know, I go miss a week, then come back and spend a week making up work, but it's worth it.
Can you explain to us a little more into detail about launching down a racetrack?
About launching down a racetrack?
Yes.
Okay, so my car, it's like I said, it's a twin turbo car. So when I, and it's still got a stock transmission. I mean, it's a 4L80. It's basically a stock. It's just got an input shaft. That's all that's different. And it's got a, you know, 370 gear. So we recently just upgraded to 35 spline axle. So we're launching the car really, really easy. But since it's a turbo car, you know, I launch and have almost no power. I just kind of drive out of the gate. But then, you know, at a second and a half, when I command boost, the car takes off like a rocket ship. And it's like somebody flips a switch, you can literally feel it, and it throws you back in your seat. And you're just going through the gears. And at about 8th mile is when I get to sit back and enjoy the ride. And all the way to the top end, through the trap, the car is still pulling. So I actually want to take it to, like, a standing mile event or something just because the car, I mean, even at the top end, it still feels like a rocket ship. So it's fun. Down track.
Well, now the host, Adam Sinclair, has a couple questions for you.
Sounds good.
What's your ultimate racing goal?
You know, ultimate racing goal, that's a hard question to answer. Right now, like I said, I'm still in high school, and so I have, of course, college after high school, and I plan to do business-type stuff. But I still want to stay in the racing industry. And right now, I'm not pushing anything. You know, if something happens, more than happy. I'd love to, you know, definitely everybody dreams of driving professional as a career. But I'm always happy if there's an advancement in the future. But right now, good stuff's happening. I'm not going to push it. I'm just having fun with what I'm doing. So advancement's welcome, but I'm happy. Where I am, I definitely want to go faster, but I think every racer wants to go faster. So, so that's a common goal.
Which series do you prefer, the NHRA or the IHRA?
Actually, I just recently was introduced to IHRA events because my sponsor, I'm actually sponsored by Crower, and they're sponsoring the IHRA events this year. Mm-hmm. And so they've been having me bring my car out, and I get to make some exhibition passes there. And, you know, NHRA, I personally feel like it's always going to be the top dog, the big boy. But IHRA is so welcoming to people, and, like, they really make their events based around the people, and they really work with the racers, and they're very helpful. So that's a hard one to pick because they're both great, and it's just two different worlds, you know. There's two different things. The cool thing about IHRA is they do look at the smaller people, the ones that are still down here, you know, not professional level. So they're both good for different reasons, but I'm liking them both right now.
And how many events do you participate each year?
Well, that's kind of dependent because we don't have a schedule. You know, it kind of depends on how much we're changing the car. If we're building a new car, because, like, right now my dad's building a new car, so we have to, you know, we don't have that much free time. But I do, I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but I do what's called Drag League, put on by Hot Rod Magazine, and Rocky Mountain Race League. So those are 2-week-long events where you drive your street car 1,000 miles, 5 different days, 5 different tracks, and race. And so I do two of those events a year. One just happened in July, and the other is coming up in September. Mm-hmm. And get some tests and tunes in there. So that's pretty much my big event. Sometimes we throw a couple other little races in there, but we do enough racing in those 2 weeks to cover anyone for a good year.
Yeah. How do you feel about the adjustments that the NHRA just announced for the pro stock field for the end of this season and for the entire next season?
I'm actually not very up to date on those, but because I've been busy this, you know, recently, so I'm not going to lie, I'm not up to date on the changes. But, however, those are, aren't they about body styles?
Yep, body styles and making them more similar to the actual stock cars as opposed to the funny car looking thing they are now.
Gotcha. How do I feel about that? I think that is absolutely awesome because that's one reason that some people, you know, are starting to get into this whole streetcar movement is because it's real cars and real people can relate when they see a real car on the drag strip. And, you know, on this website called We Did It for the Love, there's an introduction that says, you know, this was when real drag racing, not real drag racing, but old drag racing, you know, cars had paint and names on them instead of sponsors. And while these new cars will still have sponsor names on there, you know, it'll be nice to see this car looks different than that car, you know, different body styles, not all just the same shape. You know, I think it'll make the fans more involved in it. So I think it's definitely a good change.
And what's your favorite racetrack?
Favorite racetrack? I love Bowling Green, Kentucky. The Beach Bend Raceway. That I love it. It's beautiful. You pull into the racetrack and it's like, you know, it doesn't look like a racetrack. It's absolutely gorgeous. I recently just went to Bandimere in Denver, Colorado. And that track's amazing too. The altitude is just a killer though. But I think my all-time favorite would be Beach Bend at the moment.
There you go. Well, we'd like to thank you very much for coming on the program this evening and wish you lots of luck at your next event.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Once again, that was Alex Taylor, the drag racer who races in Drag Week and Rocky Mountain Race Week. Catch her on at the track the next time she's out there. So what's your next event after you rebuild the car that your brother nearly destroyed?
Well, we're hoping because this weekend is another race. So we're hoping that we have enough carts laying around that we can at least get another motor together and throw it in the Mustang that we have. And then just kind of, I don't know, that'll just kind of be something to play around with. But I don't know. I just want to race, really. So I don't care what we got to do. I just want to drive.
Just go out there and start, put on your driver's suit, just start running around the track.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think that's probably frowned upon.
Probably. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar or simply by going to facebook.com/SD Thursday Night Thunder, all one word. I also invite you to read the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. I've done a few articles about IHRA this week, some other things about the IndyCar series will be going up there pretty soon, and it's always an evolving world of motorsports this time of year, so be sure to check it out.
Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again next week in the Thunderdome when we will welcome motorsports maven April Rose, as well as lawnmower racer extraordinaire Luke Rakowski, to the program.
I'd like to once again thank Michael for all our help, Garrett Jones and Alex Taylor for their insight, and you, the listeners, for spending a little of your Thursday night evening with us. From everyone at Speedway Digest Radio Network, I bid you a good evening.